I'm AccuWeather meteorologist Dave Samuel.
Thank you, Dave. Much appreciated. We're having a perfectly average morning around here. 36, that is the average for this time of year.
Thanks for waking up with WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. He could not have been more fabulous, so we appreciate his help and hard work all week long, and that would be Rob Center, our producer. So he's been sticking with us through that. And so have our guests, so we appreciate all those people who have called in this week. Even if I give them the wrong telephone number, they've been able to get through. Now, on the news line with us now, Dr. Matt Arosu's on the line. He's a PhD. He's the dean of the Sigmund Weiss School of Business. He's one of the professors of Economics at Susquehanna University. Good morning, sir. Thanks for calling in.
Morning. Thanks for having me.
I do appreciate it. You were the first that told us about the auctions. What kind of auctions do you call them? I always forget this term.
Experimental auctions.
That's right.
Do research to try to obtain values of items that are a little bit trickier to find because the products may not be available in a market setting, or maybe you want to do a few more manipulations assess consumer demand.
Well, yeah, and how much will people put up with is what I always call it, but you have a more official term for it. But okay, so you were actually scheduled to be a part of a panel discussion that was last week when the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce was here talking about the jobless numbers a week ago, but we had to push your particular appearance up to this week. And to that end, Bob Garrett asked the best question of the week is, how are we going to snap back? When are we going to snap back? What's the method that we're going to do that when it comes to getting our local economy back underway? What's your answer to that thought?
But in order to snap back, things have to open up. So that the question of when, I don't know when. It will depend on when restrictions are lifted, which of course will depend on when the public health threat appears to be minimized enough where all of these stay-at-home orders can be removed. Once those are removed, then it will be interesting to see how quick it does snap back. This could be a very different recession from many, because if you have kept your job, there hasn't been that much to spend your money on over the past couple weeks, past month, basically. You can't take vacations, you can't buy tickets to shows, can't go out to eat, although you can order in. If you have children, it's been tougher. Children's activities are canceled, so it's tougher to spend money on children's activities. There's a number of ways where if you have kept a job, you could have money accumulating, plus the stimulus checks are also coming in. So once things open up, you could see individuals with a job having a little bit of pent-up demand. Of course, then you have the other side where you have, now I believe it's over 16 million unemployed, which will offset the potential boom in spending that could happen from those who haven't lost their job.
Have you given any thought to how we could come back? Just absolutely okay, yesterday everything was closed, tomorrow absolutely everything is open again, or is there some sort of a slow ramp up that would be closer to ideal, either for the economy or put on your epidemiologist hat for a moment, but is there sort of a favored way? How would you suggest we get started again?
Yeah, the epidemiology part, I would not have any idea on what would make sense there. I could hypothesize, but I know nothing on epidemiology. I'll leave that for the experts. For the economy, I think simply if we woke up tomorrow and magically the health risk is gone, simply opening everything back up would be just fine and letting everything take care of itself. I don't think you want to do a slow, you just build yourself up for possible corruption if the government gets to say which businesses get to open up when in those circumstances.
How resilient is our local economy? We keep talking about the fact that there might be a national recession. Well, I guess this is a sort of a type of induced coma we're in right now. But how resilient is the local economy?
Well, we're definitely in a absolutely in a recession, right? With the number of the unemployed being 16 million new unemployment claims over the past few weeks, our unemployment rate's probably between 13 to 15% right now. Once, at this exact moment, there were 159 million employed at the peak just a couple months ago and about 5 million unemployed. So we're certainly in a recession. How resilient? It's not resilient to a total shutdown ordered by the government, which is what's happening. And I'm not trying to criticize that for happening. I mean, in terms of the public, you know, there's the public health interest in this particular case. But when the unemployment rate is 15%, that's not being very resilient. Certainly, it isn't resilient to a complete shutdown. Now, if it were like this forever, would the unemployment rate drop back down because there would be different industries that would emerge? Probably, with incomes dropping dramatically overall, also probably. When the shutdowns don't exist, I will argue that the economy is incredibly resilient. There are things that happen, of course. There are bad things that happen, right? I mean, there was the Woodmote shutdown, which was a pretty major shock to the local economy in the Susquehanna Valley, and in particular in Snyder County. It was a bad negative shock. You know, a number of people were unemployed, but a number of businesses then were open trying to hire those individuals. And the unemployment rate stayed relatively reasonably low even after that. You know, a few months after that, unemployment rate was dropping again in the Susquehanna Valley.
One of our listeners sends us a text and says, is there anything positive that comes out of weeding out businesses that were already on the margin that go out of business? Is there anything positive about that? We're going to have a lot of businesses that won't restart. Does that help anything?
Well, the firms that exist could be more profitable. And as a general rule, firms, the cycle of economic growth, new firms will come into play. There could be some existing firms that are not as efficient, and they might go out of business, and they do go out of business. There are times, throughout history, new firms might come into an area, somebody will have a new way of doing something, a new method, might be cheaper, might be more efficient, might just be higher quality, and existing firms can go out of business. As in the long run for the economy, that's absolutely a good thing, and that prompts economic growth. I have concerns that it's a pandemic or like the government shutting everybody down that causes this. So I guess the answer to that question, is it a good thing? In the long run, when it's not done by government, I generally think this is a pretty good thing. When it's artificially created because of a government shutdown, I don't think it is as good of a situation.
All right, Bob Garrett. Only Bob Garrett would write this question. How does today's situation compare with the 1918 pandemic, the 1920 economic depression, and then finally, how does today's situation compare to the Roaring Twenties?
Yeah, and I appreciate you giving me the heads up on this one, because I don't study the those ahead of time that often. So I did look in a little bit of studying. So I can't speak on to the epidemiology of the 1918-1919 pandemic. In terms of the economy, I don't know how much comparison there can be given, you know, an economy without internet and barely without any, you know, when the automobile was just coming into play. However, there were a couple of things. So we did go through a pretty big contraction in 1920, where unemployment rates, depending on the estimate, because data wasn't as good then, might have reached around between, say, 9 to 12 or 13%. That preceding that, there was a pretty large increase in prices. So inflation between 1916 and 1920 had increased quite a bit, and the money supply was then contracted to get prices back in line. That really helped prompt that increase in unemployment rates. Now, that did work. Similar to actually what happened in the early 80s when we had inflation throughout the 70s, the contraction of the money supply helped to get inflation in check, would then help to prompt a reasonably large boom throughout the 1980s and throughout the 1920s. But I don't know how much comparison we can necessarily get out of this. But I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, as an economist, right, these are different times, and this is something very different than I have ever seen. I am interested in seeing, once things open back up, how much are consumers spending? So are people looking to say, okay, I had planned on doing a home project, and right now there's a stay-at-home order, and we're not supposed to have somebody in our house to put in new floors. I have this money. Definitely going to do this. Will those types of industries see a big boom? That will be... I'm interested to see that. I suspect demand will ramp back up pretty quickly for those types of projects, for movie theaters when you can't go out for a while, to the extent the public's comfortable sitting in a space with hundreds of other people. That will be interesting as an economist to see what happens to spending once all the restrictions are lifted.
It'll be interesting to see what people's reaction is to being close to anyone who they don't know in the future, you know, right next to them at the theater or at Broadway.
Absolutely.
Or on a bus. I mean, nowadays, we try to stay as far away from everybody else as we can. We saw Bernie Sanders drop out of the race this week for president, but on his way out, he said this proves the need for socialized medicine, sort of the single-payer system that people talk about. As an economist, what's your reaction when you hear that?
Now, I disagree. I don't think our current medical system is very efficient at all. I would prefer much more free market than much less. Right now, there's all sorts of archaic rules on the various pricing. It could be the least market-like system in the U.S. as it currently stands. So, for example, if you go to the doctor right now and you have an earache and you want to get tested to see what's wrong, go in and ask them, how much would it cost for me to have you test whether I have an earache? And they can't tell you that. They won't tell you that. No other industry is like that right now. A market system, I think, would be much better. I mean, if we're looking at the pandemic, if we want to compare, you know, pull out the argument that Joe Biden made, right, the worst hit country right now is Italy that has this. So there's no evidence, certainly, that through the pandemic, having a single payer system would be better at all. And there's a lot of evidence in all sorts of other industries that market systems are far superior, including what I would argue is more important than healthcare, the food sector. Food sector is about as market-based as you can get, and despite all of the restrictions the government's putting in on, you may not produce this, you may not open. You go to the grocery store, and yes, it's different times. We're seeing a glimpse of what all-out so, but most shelves, very few items have these shutdown orders because grocery store food industry is largely still very market-based.